Another reason why WYSL is your sports leader. Now, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, Rochester Lancers trainer and Wall of Famer, Joe Redcard Sirianni. WYSL sports director and Rochester Lancers historian, Andrew Battisti. The editor of FrontRowSoccer.com, Rochester Lancers reporter and Lancers Wall of Famer, Michael Lewis. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo, Family Dentistry, and brought to you by the following sponsors: Flower City Union and Flower City 1872, the Rochester Lancers, Top Notch Monogramming, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Polano and Company, Italian American Sports Club of Rochester, Opera Bracelets, Faber Builders and Claridge Decorating Center, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Pet Mom Jewelry, and St. Padre Pio Chapel. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks for joining us tonight. We have two special guests on the show. We'll first hear from our MASL indoor soccer correspondent, Greg Suddy. The championship series of MASL is underway between the defending champions Chihuahua and the Kansas City Comets. We'll talk about that. Plus, awards from MASL 2 were announced, and we'll talk about that as well. And at 7 o'clock, we'll be joined by Flower City Union and Flower City 1872 head coach Jordan Sullivan. He's preparing for the start of the 2024 season, which is just 12 days away for the men and 4 weeks away for the women. And finally, FrontRowSoccer.com's Michael Lewis will have the latest news from U.S. Soccer. Some big breaking news that was just hit the wires about an hour ago. We'll talk about it regarding the U.S. and the Women's World Cup. Our host, Joe Sirianni, is off tonight. He'll hopefully be back next week. But let's go to our first guest right now. From all the way on the left coast of the United States, we're happy to be joined once again by our MASL correspondent, Greg Suddy, and Greg's appearance brought to you by the Rochester Lancers. 2025 season tickets are on sale for the Lancers. You don't want to miss any of the exciting action. The Lancers were undefeated this season and looking to continue that undefeated streak in the regular season into next year. So get your tickets by going to rlancers.com. Greg, welcome back to the show, and it's great to have you on.
Well, thanks, Andrew, and I really appreciate you getting in touch with me and bringing me up, especially right now towards the end of the MASL 1 season. But first thing I want to say is congratulations for that second-place finish. I mean, in M2, the Rochester Lancers had an incredible season.
Yes, they did. And since you started with that, let's talk about some awards that were announced recently by the MASL. The Rochester Lancers had two All-Stars in the first team of the MASL 2. It was Ali Alomari, the leading scorer, rookie, and he started the season. He was just 21 years of age, had 28 goals and 12 assists on the year. And defender Darren Toby, the Rock himself, who never makes a mistake in the back. He never gives the ball up. And he helped the Lancers to have the best defensive record in the MASL. Another big factor in that is in the second team was Jacob Mitchell, who led the MASL in goals against average, set a new league record, by the way, in this past season. Had a goals against average under 4, which is pretty amazing for indoor soccer. And he is the all-time leader in goals against average in MASL 2 history. So, yeah, it was a great season for the Lancers. Unfortunately, it didn't end on the right note, but as they say, there's always next year.
Well, I mean, seriously, there were three solid teams as the regular season ended in M2, right? I mean, Wichita, Iowa, and the Lancers were all right there, and the Lancers got through Wichita in a tight game, and then you know, came up against the Demon Hawks, and that was a solid match as well. Any one of those three teams were looking like a good champion as the playoffs started.
Yeah, they definitely, and Wichita certainly playing at home had the big crowd, and that was quite a match, one of the best matches that I think they've probably ever seen. Chris Economides mentioned that on the broadcast between the Wichita Wings and the Lancers that went to overtime, the Lancers winning it 10-9 in overtime, but unfortunately the injury bug hit 3 games in 3 days. Lancers were missing some key players, as was Iowa for that matter. and the Demon Hawks just had too much firepower and won the championship 8-3. But hopefully next year they might change the playoff format. I know it's a lot having to do with money in the MASL too, but 3 games in 3 days is just too much for the players. They need to have some time to rest. And that's the fans want to see the best action as well. They want to see the players at their best, the teams at their best. And fortunately in M1, you don't have that issue. There's plenty of time between matches under normal circumstances.
The only other thing I want to mention with M2, Andrew, is it was unfortunate for here on the West Coast that all of the West Coast teams dipped out of the M2 this season. So the Savage didn't have a team. The Sockers didn't have a team. Empire didn't have a team. And all of those teams had been, well, I think the Savage were the actual defending champions from the previous year. So it was unfortunate that that the West Coast wasn't able to participate. But that being said, the M2 season was an extraordinary season all around.
And there's going to be a number of new teams next year. They've already announced. And it's going to make the league even better. Hopefully the West Coast teams will come back next season, and then we'll have a coast-to-coast league. And I'm really looking forward to that and look forward to broadcasting the Lancers once again next season. But let's talk about M1. And speaking of undefeated teams, you know what?
Right.
You cannot take anything away from Monterey. What a season, 24-0. It's never happened before, I believe,
right,
in the MASL or MISL for that matter. It might have happened in some other versions of indoor soccer, but that was just an unbelievable accomplishment. And unfortunately, the playoffs is a totally different season, and Milwaukee did a number on them in Mexico to knock them out.
Yeah, and in fact, if you include the playoffs, it was actually 25-1 because I think they won their first game in Milwaukee. So they win that first game in Milwaukee. The Monterey Flash win that first game in Milwaukee, and I think pretty much everybody is sitting there going, "Okay, well, this is over." And then Milwaukee just had a different attitude and came down into Mexico against a team that not only hadn't lost to an American team, they hadn't lost a game all season. So. At home or away. So it was just an amazing, that was a fun one. It really was a fun one to watch and see that gut check Milwaukee put forward for the win. And it, of course, I'm not exactly sure what your listeners are familiar with the format, because it's a home and home series, but they have that mini game. So they have to play two games essentially in one night, and win them both in order to dethrone this undefeated team in Monterey.
Yep, and that's they use a format similar to the old North American Soccer League, where you had two game series and a mini game to decide if it turned out that the games were split. And I send a big shout out to Will the Wall Bonahane, the goalkeeper for Milwaukee from Rochester.
No kidding.
And of course Tony Walls, the former captain of the Rochester Rhinos, who a big part of the Milwaukee Wave. But they went in against Kansas City. Kansas City knocked out Utica, who were shorthanded because a couple of their big guns were playing for the United States futsal team. So they weren't shorthanded, and they lost a juggernaut. Kansas City, up until last night, had won 10 games in a row, and they were on a roll. They beat Milwaukee two straight games. They were the only team that really had no problems in their series. They swept both games. The other series all went to 3 games, I believe.
Right, no, every single one. Kansas City was the only team that got through the first round with winning two spots back to back, home and away, and then doing the same thing in order to get to the championship finals where they are now, versus first Utica and then Milwaukee. Talk about Kansas City for a minute. I mean, here's a team that, if I got my numbers right, here's a team that went 7-1. To start the season, and they would lose 8 games in a row in the middle of the season, and then they come back and they start to peak. And interestingly enough, their last loss before the winning streak started, their last loss was against the Chihuahua Savage, which they're playing now in the finals. And their first win of that winning streak was here. I was at the game. It was here against the San Diego Sockers, and they went forward and took 10 games in a row to finish out the regular season. And then into the playoffs. So the other night, when they lost a gut check game, I mean, it was 4-3 final against the Chihuahua Savage in Kansas City. It looked like Kansas City was going to pull it off, But yeah, that was their first loss in a long time.
Yes, it was. By the way, shout out to Ray Lee, former member of the Rochester Rhinos, member of that Kansas City team. And, you know, it's funny. We talk on our show a lot, Greg, about two-goal leads are the most dangerous lead in soccer. And even
right.
Indoor, it happened again. With Kansas City, they had a penalty kick and went up 3-1. And
yep.
Then Chihuahua shut them out the rest of the way and scored three times. And they took a big win. And I watched the end of that game, and Kansas City was all over the Chihuahua goal trying to get the equalizer, but they couldn't find it. And now they are in a tough position tomorrow. They're going to try to do what Milwaukee did, go down to Mexico and win second game two and then a mini game. But I'm sure you have to be a little bit sad about San Diego. They did win the Western Conference in the MASL too, but they lost Chihuahua in the mini game at home. They did win the game two, but they lost the mini game.
And Andrew, that's the second consecutive year that exact same format happened at the same level of the playoffs for both of those teams. 2 years ago, San Diego prevailed against Chihuahua and went on to win the MASL Ron Newman Cup. Last year, the same two teams got together. Instead, this time it was the Chihuahua Savage that came through and went on to win the Ron Newman Cup. And then this year again, the same two teams met in the semifinals, and the same format happened against San Diego, had the home field advantage, and was unable to win that mini game. And it's, you know, yeah, it's disappointing to see happen. I mean, one thing that's really cool, I got to tell you, it's nice to see that rivalry, you know, firing up. You know, having the Chihuahua-San Diego rivalry firing up is really exciting. You know, I mean, going in, it was kind of a cool little headline, really. I mean, when the finals started a couple of days ago, you had the Kansas City Comets coming in on that 10-game winning streak versus the defending champions from the previous year. So you got to say, I mean, two great teams representing the Major Arena Soccer League this season in the finals.
And just goes to show you that playoff season is completely different. You know, Chihuahua finished in second place in the West, and I believe Kansas City was third in the East. So
The playoffs make a big difference, don't they?
They certainly do, and that's what happens in, you know, playoffs. They say it's the second season. It really is. But again, that's not to diminish what San Diego and Monterey did in the regular season, winning their division. So tomorrow is the second leg. It'll be on CBS Sports Golazo Network. You can get that on many of the free outlets, like Pluto TV has it, and many other ones do as well. And it'll be at 10:15. What do you think is going to happen, Greg? Do you think that Kansas City can pull it together and win two games in Chihuahua tomorrow?
Yeah, that's a tough ask. That's a tough ask. I don't know. Having seen more of Chihuahua than I have this season than I have Kansas City, and it's interesting because, again, here in San Diego, one of the things that was really interesting to me when these two teams met in the finals and it was determined that these are going to be the two finalists, during the regular season, San Diego lost every single game they played against both of those teams, home and away. They lost home against Kansas City. They lost away against Kansas City. San Diego also lost home and away against Chihuahua in three matches. So it was kind of interesting from my perspective to see these two teams make it. For Kansas City to come back, to your question, and win those two games, I don't know. I mean, of course, we saw Milwaukee do that against Monterey, and we saw what Kansas City did to Milwaukee. But I'm really not certain that really can be played into the oversight. I'm not sure. It's an interesting location. You know, the place, Corner Sports Arena in Chihuahua, is a really small venue, and it's small in every sense. It's small in the capacity. The fans are right on top of you. It's a small field. It's just barely making, you know, the regulations within the league, so it's a smaller field, somewhat like they play on in Baltimore. And I'm not so sure that Kansas City gets out of it alive.
Well, the game again is tomorrow at 10:15, so stay up late, stay up and watch it. It's going to be for all the marbles, if the game ends up going to Kansas City, then there will be a 15-minute mini game plus potential sudden death overtime if it goes that route. And
there's another thing too, Andrew, that everybody might not be aware of is most of the time when these games are broadcast out of Mexico, it's the home team that is responsible for the broadcast, and typically it's in Spanish. But we're going to have an English language broadcast on Galazzo. Canela Network will do a Spanish broadcast, but the Galazzo Network will do an English language broadcast. The guys that are the play-by-play and color commentators out of Empire Strikers have gone down to Chihuahua. That's Philly Philemon and the doctor, Jonathan Reimer. And they're going to be down there doing the broadcast in Chihuahua.
That's awesome. So, again, there's nothing else. I think they have the CONCACAF Champions Cup match, but who cares? I mean, it's Pachuca in America. It's not Columbus Crew. That's not till Wednesday. So this is a chance to see, again, former Rhino Ray Lee will be playing for Kansas City, looking to win two games. It's going to be tough, but it should be very exciting, and we're going to have a champion tomorrow. It may go into Wednesday morning, potentially. Probably will, actually.
Right.
Well, not for you. For me, it would be.
I know, I know. In
a reasonable hour. But, Greg, as always, it's great to have you on the show. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to getting back together again when the next season comes around, and hopefully it will be another great season for indoor soccer. It's been a great season this year, very exciting matches all around the board, and of course it was also always great to have the Lancers winning every game. That's a lot of fun as well.
Well, my heart's with the Lancers. I mean, I love that. I love the side. I love you guys. I support Rochester as best I can. It may be cross country, but I love you guys to the end of the world, man. Thank you very, very much for having me on board.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Have a good one.
All right, you Greg too, man. Studdy. Thank you.
Greg Studdy from Studdy on Soccer, covering Major Arena Soccer League all over the world. I'm very happy to have Greg on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. Next up, international soccer news and notes on WYSL and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com.
Westbound 747. Didn't think before deciding what to do.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatores.com.
Are you looking for a new dentist for your family? Dr. David Olivo has been caring for Rochester's dental needs for over 20 years and would welcome the opportunity to serve you. To make an appointment, call 328-3382. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé. Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Are you looking to update the kitchen, bath, or flooring in your home, but don't know where to begin? Whether it's cabinetry, carpeting, hardwood flooring, tile, or kitchen and bathroom remodeling, Claridge Design Center in Chi-Lai Fall Plaza is the place to start. Claridge Custom Designs and builds quality remodeling projects throughout Rochester and Monroe County. At Claridge, the visions and ideas you have for your home are developed with the experienced Claridge designers to make your dream project a reality. And the quality of service you receive at Claridge is second to none. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call Claridge at 889-5800 or visit their website to meet the Claridge team. See examples of their finished work at ClarideDesignCenter.com.
Looking for the best lunch deal in Rochester? Join us this Thursday at noon at the Italian American Sport Club, 1250 Buffalo Road, for their famous bi-weekly luncheon. Start with a wide selection of appetizers, followed by pasta, salad, and wine served at your table. Then, the chef's selection of meat, potato, and vegetable, and, to top it off, espresso and dessert. All this for just $25. To make a reservation, please text Fino Pavone today at 760-3420.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. WISL AM 1040 and FM 92.1 and 95.5 West.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti here. Joe Sirianni will be back on next week's show. Time for our international report brought to you by our title sponsor, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, 2005 Lyle Avenue in Gates. The number to call for an appointment if you're looking for a new dentist or if you haven't been to the dentist in a long time and you're looking to get your teeth fixed up, 328-3382. Office is open Monday to Thursday, 8 to 5, and the website is davidolivodmd.com. Had my biannual appointment with Dr. Olivo and his staff today, and got another clean bill of health for my teeth. And a lot of that is having to do with Dr. Olivo and their staff, and tell me exactly what I need to do to catch the trouble spots I have in my mouth for tartar and all that. So they take great care of you. And, of course, Roseanne takes care of all the billing and the insurance. So that's all done. She's been there for many, many years. Again, Dr. Olivo, 2005 Lyle Avenue in Gates, medical building up on the second floor, 328-3382. Well, the big news continuing to be in international soccer is Bayer Leverkusen. What an incredible story. What an incredible team this is. For those of you who don't know, I think I've been mentioning the last few shows, Bayer Leverkusen are the Bundesliga champions for the very first time. They have not lost a game all season. They're on a 46-match unbeaten streak. They are two away from tying the record set by Benfica back in the 1960s for a longest winning streak in a major European league. They have scored 17 goals after the 88th minute this year, including this past Saturday. I watched their game against Stuttgart, who are very good. They're going to probably be in the Champions League next year. They're in the top four right now in the Bundesliga. Stuttgart was up 2-0 at home, or at Leverkusen's home stadium. Bayer scored a goal in the 60th minute to pull them one. And then in the 96th minute, on the last kick of the game, on a free kick, they scored the tying goal. This is, the third or fourth time in a row that they've done this. They did it the previous week against Borussia Dortmund in Dortmund, one of the hardest places to play in all the world. They tied the game in the 97th minute off a corner kick. So can they make the streak? Can they beat Benfica's record? This is going to be maybe the toughest test they have will be this Thursday in the Europa League semifinals. They have to go to the Olympic Stadium and play Jose Mourinho, Tammy Abraham, and Paulo Dybala, and AS Roma. And I have a feeling the streak is going to end on Thursday. I predict Roma is going to win that game. I think it's just too many tough matches in a row for Leverkusen, but you know, you never count them out. They also have a big game away to Frankfurt, who are in the top five or six in the Bundesliga this coming Sunday. But it's an incredible story, and I think all the world is rooting for Leverkusen to go unbeaten, at least in the Bundesliga. That's never happened before in the history of the Bundesliga that a team's gone undefeated the entire season. They're also in the German Cup final against Kaiserslautern in May, so it's going to be wild. The other Europa League semifinal, by the way, is Marseille against Atalanta. So you could see an all-Italian final. Atalanta upset Liverpool in the quarterfinals. The Champions League also kicks back off on the week. Bayern Munich will host Real Madrid on Tuesday, and Borussia Dortmund against the newly crowned French champions PSG. They will play on Wednesday, so it could be an all-German final between Bayern and Dortmund. That happened a few years ago as well. The final will be held at Wembley this coming year. Congratulations to Inter Milan. They are the Italian champions once again. They beat their crosstown rival AC Milan 1-0 last Monday, and they also won 2-0 against Torino at home yesterday, so they have won the Scudetto. Milan stands in second place at 70 points. Juve is at 65. They played to a scoreless tie over the weekend. Bologna, great story there. They're in fourth place. They are 4 points clear of Roma, at 59 and Atalanta's at 57. This weekend, Juve plays Roma on Sunday. And Saturday, interesting enough, Sassuolo, who are in the relegation zone right now, they will host Inter. Inter's only loss this season in Serie A was to Sassuolo at home way back in 2023. So that should be a good match as well. In England, Spurs 2, Arsenal 3. Arsenal led 3-0. Spurs had a chance to tie the game, but it was ruled out by VAR, and there's been a lot of controversy with VAR this past week. Arsenal sits in first place at 80 points in the Premiership. Manchester City 1 point behind at 79, but they have a match in hand. They won 2-0 at Nottingham Forest on the weekend. Liverpool is on 75. Looks like they're not going to be able to catch up. They drew at West Ham 2-2. Aston Villa sitting in fourth place right now. My good friend Dave Wakeling from the English Beat has to be pretty happy. They played to a 2-2 draw against Chelsea, and Chelsea had a goal ruled out in the depth that would have given them a victory. They still have a chance to get into Europe next season. They have a match in hand, a couple matches in hand on West Ham. They play West Ham Sunday. They play Spurs on Thursday, and they're both at home. And the match with Spurs sitting in fifth place right now at 60 points. It's going to be a wild finish in England. It should be very exciting. And we'll be covering it here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. We're going to take a break now on the show. We're going to come back with Jordan Sullivan, the head coach of Flower City Union and Flower City 1872, next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass here on WYSL and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com.
Your local sports leader. WYSL. AM 1040 Avon Rochester. FM 92.1 W221 CL Rochester. FM 95.5 W238 DE Spencerport.
An experienced professional with more than 20 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Kusha Kush, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Your family is growing, and it's time for a new home. Why buy a used house with someone else's style when you can afford a new Faber home, built to suit your taste and your needs? Start fresh, build new with Faber. Faber Homes can customize your home to meet your wishes and dreams. Visit the Faber Homes website at faberhomes.com and find the plan of your dreams or a quick deliver home. Give Faber Homes a call today at 247-4800 or visit faberhomes.com for our current incentives. Faber Homes, great price.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. WISL AM 1040 and FM 92.1 and 95.5 West.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti, and we're very happy to be joined right now by a gentleman who will be doing double duty this year for Flower City. He'll be coaching Flower City Union as he did last season, but he'll also be coaching the women of Flower City 1872. Very happy to be joined by Jordan Sullivan, and Jordan's appearance brought to you by Flower City Union and Flower City 1872. Season's right around the corner. You can still get your season memberships. They're on sale currently at flowercityunion.com for both the men and the women. Exciting soccer action at the Downtown Soccer Stadium from May till July, so get your tickets today. It makes a great Mother's Day gift if your mom's a soccer mom. What a great way to celebrate Mother's Day by taking her to Flower City Union and Flower City 1872 matches. Jordan, thanks for joining us, and congratulations again on the presentation not too long ago at City Hall. I'm sure that was very exciting for you.
Hey, Andrew, yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, it was amazing. It was a great day. It was good to, you know, get together with some of the ownership and the general manager, and just a shame we couldn't share it with some of the players. The players are out of town at the moment, but it was a fantastic day, and the mayor did a great thing for Flower City that day, so we're very happy.
There's no rest for the weary. You're going to be starting up practices very, very soon for the men. They'll start the first of the two teams. Their first game is Saturday, May 11th at the stadium against Steel City, who were the best team in the Great Lakes division of the MPSL last year. They were undefeated. It certainly will be a challenge. But you've got a couple guys coming back, at least from the championship team, Ryan Curtis and Dylan Ruiz. So I'm sure they'll be lending some leadership and some experience for the college guys that are playing this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Those two local Rochester guys, they were a big part of the team last year. So there'll be, you know, even more leaders this year in terms of establishing culture and leadership, and also they understand how we want to play the game. So they're going to be massive in terms of being an influence in the locker room for our guys this year. So very excited and very happy to have those two guys back.
Well, one of the things I'm excited about is that the strike partner of Dylan Ruiz and Roberts Wesleyan, who combined for multitude of goals for the Red Hawks, Tomas Nagy, will be joining the Flower City Union. Having those two guys together, Jordan, is going to be something to watch. They know each other very well, and they're very, very prolific when it comes to putting the ball in the back of the net.
Absolutely, yeah. They complement each other very well, and obviously one of the big things about having a summer team is trying to build chemistry as much as you possibly can. Obviously, as we know from last year, building a team chemistry and getting guys to understand each other on the field takes quite a bit of time. So it's brilliant to have these two guys who have already established, you know, 2-3 years of playing with each other. Hopefully they'll get back in and get back into old ways of scoring goals and, you know, being a good representation for the team. But there'll be other players that are going to have definitely an attacking influence as well. So those two will definitely be two to look out for. But we've got a lot more guys that can step up to the plate and score goals. So we're excited about that too.
Yep, we'll talk about them in just a bit. But a couple more Roberts Wesleyan players, so some more Red Hawks that'll help with the team. Nathan Ferguson and Alex Vega will be with Flower City. So, again, a good nucleus of players from Roberts. But as you said, there's players coming from all over. One gentleman who I'm very excited to see play outdoors is, I call his game indoors. He played the last few games for the Rochester Lancers, and he's got some skill, that's for sure. It's Rodrigo Almeida, who went to Syracuse University, and he made his mark in the Lancers indoors, and I'm excited to see what he'll do in his normal setting in the outdoor game.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a guy that, you know, Soccer Sam spoke to us and said, you know, get this guy on your radar in regards to how good he is. Obviously, we have Marcelo, that was the goalkeeping coach at the Lancers as well, and everyone spoke very, very highly of his ability and his play, and I got down to a couple of the indoor games to see him play also. And, yeah, he's got some real quality even in the indoor game, so it'd be great to see how he transitions and goes back into the playing outdoors. So we're very excited to have him a part of our group and a part of our team for this year.
He comes from Lisbon, Portugal, and you've got players literally from all over the world. And three guys I want to ask you about because they're not local. They don't go to college locally, but we have them on our team. The first one is Patrick Hansen, who comes from Denmark. He played at Kansas City, Kansas Community College. So tell us about him.
Yeah, so obviously we've been talking to a few people in terms of from last year and representations and agents and stuff like that. So we used some old contacts from last year and just said that if there's any college players that are interested in playing and playing over the summer to get them prepared for college for the following year. So we get a lot of lists of a lot of players and a lot of videos. And, you know, we sat down, we watched Patrick's video and we really liked him. He kind of fit our player profile in regards to what it is that we want from a centre-back. Spoke to him a little bit on the phone, and, you know, his ideas of playing, they just seemed to fit in gel really well, so we were able to make that happen. So, yeah, we're excited to have him come in and play for us too. He's going to be a great addition to the group.
Look forward to seeing him. Jordan Miller, who doesn't go to school too far from here, Bucknell University. He is from Jamaica, so tell us about him.
Absolutely. So we're bringing in a player that played at Bucknell, Jameson Riley, and obviously his buddy, Jordan, they played together. So there's a little bit more of that team chemistry that we're looking for. And I've seen him, you know, he's more of a local guy, played at Bucknell, has real quality. And again, we're excited to have him come in and play with guys that he's already played with to build that chemistry a little bit faster.
Another gentleman comes all the way from Japan, was the Eastern Florida Kodai Suzuki. What about him?
Yeah, so believe it or not, we signed a gentleman called Ishu from MCC. He had a great season at MCC and was just transferred to a Division I school. Luckily enough, you know, Ishu came to a couple of tryouts and stuff like that and fell in love with, you know, the style of coaching, the coaching staff, and he recommended it to his buddy, which is Kodai. So Kodai reached out to us, you know, we got to watch some film and then speak a little bit about, you know, styles and philosophies and, you know, that he'd be working with a fantastic goalkeeping coach in Marcelo. And, yeah, he decided he wanted to come in and commit as well. So, brilliant. You know, two players that already know each other as well. So
it's going to be like the United Nations this season for Flower City Union. How do you as a coach build the chemistry with this team, with all the players coming in from different schools, and a number of them are local players who go play in Division One, so they're familiar with each other from high school and probably before that. But how do you build the chemistry with this team, with mostly new guys coming in?
It's going to be a challenge for sure. With the pro team last year, you know, we was able to have a preseason. We trained every day, so that obviously definitely helped us in building a rapport with each other and getting chemistry. This year, it's going to be a massive challenge. I mean, most of the guys come back May 9th. Our first game's May 11th. So I have 2 days to kind of prepare these guys and get them in a style of play that is what we want to do. It's going to be a massive challenge. Just getting them all here together and, again, bringing players in that have already experienced playing with each other, giving them a basic understanding of what we want to do with the ball, what we want to do without the ball, and then just making sure that guys come in and give 100% for the badge. And with that, hopefully we'll get some success and build chemistry and build from there.
Well, knowing that they're coming into a team that just won a championship is certainly some great incentive. And also, there's going to be, again, a lot of local players, so I think there's going to be some decent fan base coming in as well. Of course, with the relatives and friends of all these players will certainly come out to see them play. And we encourage everyone to come out to the stadium, by the way. Get your tickets by going to flowercityunion.com for both the men and the women. So it's going to be good, I think, to see the Rochester fan base come out to see their favorite sons and daughters, for that matter. We'll talk about the women in a second. But I'm sure you'll be looking forward to having some good crowds this season.
Yeah, obviously coming off a national championship last year should definitely help in terms of notoriety and getting people interested in soccer. And obviously during the summer, it's going to be beautiful out there. The stadium's a fantastic place to come. And not only is it, you know, a game of soccer, but there'll be other events and other things that'll be going on during that. So they really, the general manager really does a great job in turning this whole thing into more of an event. You know, so you've still got the soccer for the soccer purists, but you've also got bounce houses and other, you know, food and all that sort of stuff that can attract, you know, other people to come to the game. So it's a good, fun day out for all.
It certainly will be. And let's talk about 1872, the women's team, who unfortunately had only limited games last year due to some cancellations and some weather problems. Hopefully they'll have some more luck with the weather this year. They'll start on Sunday, May 26th at 2 p.m. against Erie. And how are you going to transition or flip back and forth between the men and the women? How do you folks face that challenge?
It's going to be a challenge, obviously, to coach both the men's and women's, which is important that, you know, the club philosophy and our club style of play is already in process before they get here. You know, all the players that come here know that this is the style of soccer that Flower City wants to play, whether you're through the men's team or through the women's team. There's going to be an identity and a clear understanding of a way of play, which means that, you know, players coming in will have an easier transition because, you know, they have to adapt to the style of play of the club. This is how we're going to play. This is how we're going to, you know, attack games and stuff like that. So it's going to be a little bit of a transition in terms of how I conduct myself and how I articulate the point, because players are different from gender to gender. But the whole style and philosophy is going to stay very similar between the men's and the women's team. And the players that we've brought in are, you know, true professionals. They understand the game. They'll be able to come in and adapt and be able to apply what it is that the coaching staff is asking them to do. So
And we're seeing some familiar faces for Flower City 1872. Taylor Wingerden, who's played many years here in Rochester for formerly the Lady Lancers and now 1872, which is the same team that they just changed ownership. Maya Lathrop, Naya Rosado, Winsome Hudson, Amanda Wisotsky, Maddie Tulloch. All these names are very familiar to people who have followed women's soccer. So it's good that you got a good base of players and you brought in some new ones. And I have to ask you specifically, we have a pair of identical twins on the team, Autumn and Sierra Edwards from Hilton. They play at Lemoyne Division I school. How are you going to tell the two of them apart?
I'm not sure. Hopefully by their cleats. And obviously they're going to have different personalities as well. So I'll have to make sure that, you know, one wears a headband, one doesn't. I clock on, you know, very sharpish to that. And there will be mistakes early on. I'm sure I'll get busted up for it. But I'll do my best to make sure I intend to know which from which.
And the good things with the women is you've got a little more time to get them settled, with the first game not being until May 26th. Now, do you have assistant coaches for the men and the women as well?
Yeah, so at the moment our assistant coaches across the board are, obviously you have me, and then we have Marcelo Moreira, who's kind of our hybrid. He's our assistant coach. He's my first assistant, and he's also the goalkeeping coach. And then we have a gentleman that played for us last year, Mike Cunningham, who's coming in and doing another assistant. Then we have our second assistant / strength and conditioning coach, which is Jeanne Vardar, who has been fantastic since he's come on board. Done a great job last year, and we're excited to have him back and have him as a little bit more of a, you know, bit more of a capacity. He's done a fantastic job with preparing for, you know, the strength and conditioning, but he's also done an amazing job, you know, watching film, recruiting, going out and watching players, and he's been a massive help in bringing the squad in this year as well. So he's done amazing.
Well, Jordan, I'm looking forward to broadcasting both the men and the women again this season. It's going to be a very exciting season. Some familiar teams coming back in for the men that we saw when the Lancers were in the NPSL, Cleveland and Steel City, and also some new teams we're going to be seeing as well. And the women, of course, FC Buffalo, that's the one to circle. That's coming up in later June. That's the big rivalry. But looking forward to this coming season and looking forward to having you back on the show again and talking to you during the whole season, which is going to be short this year. It only goes about 2 months with the men and even shorter for the women. So I wish you the best of luck and the team the best of luck, both teams, and look forward to be up in the broadcast booth this coming May for the start of the season.
No, sounds good. Thank you for everything you've done for Rochester Soccer. And, yeah, excited to see you up there commentating on the games. You've always done an amazing job, so thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, Jordan. Good luck, and we'll talk to you again soon.
No worries. Take care. All the best. Bye.
Jordan, bye-bye. It's Jordan Sullivan, head coach of Flower City Union and Flower City 1872. We'll be right back with Michael Lewis from FrontRowSoccer.com and the U.S. Soccer Report. Big news from U.S. Soccer today. We'll have it next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL and live on the web at SoccerIsAKickInTheGrass.com.
Notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
An experienced professional with more than 20 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Looking for the best lunch deal in Rochester? Join us this Thursday at noon at the Italian American Sport Club, 1250 Buffalo Road, for their famous bi-weekly luncheon. Start with a wide selection of appetizers, followed by pasta, salad, and wine served at your table. Then, the chef's selection of meat, potato, and vegetable, and, to top it off, espresso and dessert. All this for just $25. To make a reservation, please text Fino Pavone today at 760-3420. 3420
Let's face it, sometimes local is just better. Locally grown, locally sourced. Shop local. At Allstate, Agent Vincenzo Scalo is just that, a local. Allstate, are you in good hands?
Call Allstate Agent Vincenzo Scalo, 381-3530, and see how much you can save. Two locations, 835 Fairport Road in East Rochester and 919 Winton Road South in Rochester.
Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. WISL AM 1040 and FM 92.1 and 95.5 West.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. It's the U.S. Soccer Report with the editor of FrontRowSoccer.com, former Rochester Lancers reporter and a 2012 inductee into the Lancers Wall of Fame, Michael Lewis.
I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
Michael's appearance is brought to you by the Italian American Sport Club of Rochester. The best lunch in Rochester is this Thursday at 12 noon at the Italian American Sport Club. Believe me, you won't go home hungry, that's for sure. If you're interested in going, get your reservations in advance because it often sells out. Please text Fino Pavone at 760-3420 if you're interested in attending this Thursday. It starts at 12 noon. I recommend you get there a little beforehand. Make sure you get a parking spot and enjoy a great meal courtesy of the Italian American Sport Club. Michael, good evening. Glad that the other sport you were covering got done. You know how slow that other sport is, but glad you're with us.
Yeah, you don't know because it's not timed like a certain favorite sport of ours. You don't know how quickly or fast it's going to go. All things considered, I'm not complaining. Glad to be on. Thank you.
Yes, and I'm glad you're with us too because I didn't want to have to do another segment by myself. But breaking news out of U.S. soccer just came out about an hour and a half ago. U.S. Soccer and the Mexican Soccer Federation have withdrawn their bid to host the 2027 Women's World Cup. They have said in a press release that they are going to focus on the 2031 World Cup, saying that in historic first, the bid will call for equal investment as the men's tournament, eliminating investment disparities to fully maximize the commercial potential of the women's tournament. You can decipher that gobbledygook however you want to do it. Basically, they don't think they have enough time to get it prepared in 3 years. Which is probably right.
Well,
what are your thoughts?
Yeah, let's face it. Pulling off a World Cup, men or women, is one hell of an experience. It takes a lot of logistics. Things have to go right. And the United States is a big event country. We love to do the Olympics, the World Cup, major international competitions. But having back-to-back World Cups, 2026, the men, and then 2027, the women, might be a little too much of an overload because, look, I remember after 1994, people were exhausted. I mean, I'm talking about key decision makers and the volunteers and everyone else in the process. And to go from one World Cup to another, I think would be really extending the resources way too much. I think it was a wise decision to wait. Hopefully, I'll still be alive in 2031. If not, not the end of the world. At one time, the U.S. was going to, host the men's in 26, the women's in 27, and then the Olympics in 28. Well, that's really an overload, and I really think the U.S. Soccer Federation and the Mexican Football Federation did the right move. Like you said, yeah, there's a lot of gobbledygook there. Fortunately, I read the press release on my phone, and I just said, I don't know about what this means, but I just think it's just stay away from getting exhausted doing two back-to-back World Cups. No country has ever done it, and no country should. It's despite the U.S.'s history of pulling this off, I think it's just good to catch our breaths.
Right. So a couple things also factor-wise. The 2026 World Cup is going to be 48 teams, which is the biggest World Cup in history. That just extends and makes it even a bigger event than it ever has been. So it means a lot more work. Plus, having Mexico having to do two tournaments in a row, not let alone the United States. I think maybe the Mexicans may have want to have more involvement in this World Cup. They're only doing limited matches in the Men's World Cup. Maybe the women's one will have more equal numbers of matches in the Mexican stadiums as in the United States.
Yes, a very good point there. And it would be exhausting for them as well, too. Maybe not as much in 26 as in 27, but, you know, you want to do it right. I remember when the U.S. in 2003, we wound up hosting the Women's World Cup in an emergency situation because of SARS in China. All things considered, a short period of time, I think we had 3 months to organize the event. They did the organizers, the U.S. Soccer Federation, did a fantastic job. But the way women's soccer has grown, not just in this country, but throughout the world, it deserves to be done properly. And I just, like I said, I don't blame them at all. Good idea to put it on.
There are two entities now in competition for this Women's World Cup. The combination of Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands, and then also Brazil. And I have a feeling it's going to go to Brazil because the Women's World Cup's never been held in South America. And it would be a big deal for them. Now, of course, Brazil has all sorts of political issues right now. I don't want to get into them too deeply, but there's certain things that may be working against Brazil in that bid because of the political situation. So it'll be interesting to see what FIFA does with this. I think it could go either way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for Brazil, that would be a big thing for them. And obviously South America hosting a World Cup. Slowly but surely, women's soccer is taking hold at the club level there. I think we all know how good the national team has been over the decades, no doubt about it. But from what I've seen and gathered, more and more clubs, I'm talking about the big clubs, are backing women's soccer. And if they ever get their act together, man, they're going to be more than what they've been already. They will become a mega powerhouse in the game. We'll see what happens over the next several years, or maybe decades.
Germany, certainly they've hosted the World Cup before, and Holland was the runners-up not too long ago in the Women's World Cup, and Belgium is a power becoming a power. So that'd be interesting. Of course, there's certainly a lot of history between those three countries. We don't have to get into that as well, but we'll be interested to see what FIFA does. We'll find out, I'm sure, very soon that the preparations need to get started for that. Probably within the next 6 months or so. It's going to take some time to pull all that together. But, again, the big news, again, if you're just joining us, the Women's World Cup will not be held in the United States and Mexico in 2027, likely in 2031. So the other big news out of U.S. soccer this week was in New England at Foxborough Stadium, 65,000 people filled the stadium to see one gentleman by the name of Lionel Messi. And it was the biggest crowd in the history of the New England Revolution. And Messi did not disappoint. He had 2 goals and 2 assists as Miami demolished New England 4-1. But what's interesting, Michael, and a lot of people made the comment, that many of the New England fans cheered for Messi. Now, I remember back in 77, and you were there as well, at Howard Stadium when we had 20,000 people for the semifinal against the Cosmos. When Pelé was introduced, the fans gave him a standing ovation, deservedly so. But once the game started, they were all behind the Lancers. But it seemed like the New England fans were more interested in seeing Messi than their own team. Now, their own team is pretty bad right now. But in Monterey, when Messi played in Monterey in the Champions League, every time Messi got the ball, he was whistled and booed and jeered every single time. So I think the Monterey fans had the right idea. You're rooting against Messi if you're playing against his team.
In different countries, different cultures. Maybe they were just, let's face it, they were probably more soccer fans than New England Revolution fans at Saturday's game, and they just wanted to see one of the greatest players ever to play and root for him. I know it's kind of weird having the home crowd rooting for the visiting team, which is sort of what the U.S. men's team has gone through over the years. But, you know, how often do you get a chance to see Messi play in person? I mean, he isn't the same player as he was years ago. Don't get me wrong. He's one lethal, dangerous player. You could see what he does. And I keep saying he's more dangerous as a playmaker than as a goal scorer because he just sees the whole field and then some. But, you know, it's a special moment wherever people go. What I liked about this was that they didn't go to, well, the Revolution play in this, you know, 65, 70,000 seat stadium. They didn't go to a bigger stadium to bring in the crowd. It was, you know, they were just able to open up the seats everywhere there. I know in Kansas City they went to Arrowhead Stadium,
right?
Their sporting park, which kind of sort of which is nice, but it sort of kind of cheats the attendance too. But you know, hey, it's a chance to see, like I said, one of the greatest players ever. And I remember what it was like with Pelé mania way back, my Lord, almost 50 years ago.
Well, I remember not too long ago there was a gentleman by the name of David Beckham who was very similar. Now, he didn't get cheered every time he touched the ball because it wasn't the same kind of player, but he filled stadiums. I mean, the games were moved to football stadiums because people wanted to see David Beckham play. So very similar in that respect, but certainly we'll be seeing a lot of that, I think, this year as Messi plays the entire season. Miami right now is the best team in MLS, according to the power rankings. So it's not just Messi. Suarez and Busquets and Jordi Alba, it's quite a team. And they just assigned a Paraguayan international player as well. So Red Bulls, 1-1 with Vancouver, third consecutive draw. They played with 10 men the last 16 minutes. Brian White, former Red Bull, scored the goal for the Whitecaps, and Lewis Morgan equalized. So, again, Vancouver, very good team. They're up in the top echelon in the West, so probably a fair result, but I'm sure the Red Bulls were hoping to get 3 points.
Yeah, especially playing at home. They had a number of opportunities, couldn't put them away. I mean, Lewis Morgan, they just can't rely on him all the time. You know, they had a 2-2 draw the previous week in L.A. against LAFC. L.A., yeah, I got it right. And the problem is they gave up the equalizing goal late in the match. The way you look at it is, hey, they got a point on the road, but this has to be more frustrating. Even playing with 10 players, not getting those 3 points, you don't want to start giving away points at home. And that's has been a problem with the team during the Struber era. Some people might call it the Struber error, but you just can't afford to do that. Or, you know, Red Bulls are a good team. We just don't know how good they are. I think the way they're playing, they'll probably make the playoffs.
We're going to find out on Saturday because they are at down in Chase Field to take on Inter Miami. I think you should go down to that match, Michael. That might be a nice road trip for you if you can make it work, but that's a big, big match for both teams. We'll see how good the Red Bulls are and see if Miami can continue their great play. By the way, great play. NYCFC, they have turned the season around. Of course, hopefully they play 5 matches in a row at home. They've moved up to 6th place now. They beat Charlotte 2-1. They play home at Citi Field on Sunday against Colorado. They're in 6th place right now, and they're really rolling.
You know, Nick Cushing has kept on reminding the media, hey, we're playing well. We're getting the chances. We haven't put them away. I was one of the skeptics. I was thinking, maybe he's just trying to ramble on and just maybe hopefully save his job. But I give the team a lot of credit. They are putting away their chances the way the Red Bulls should be putting away the chances. And, yes, playing at home, definitely that helps. Of course, they're home. You have to say playing at homes because it's plural. It's either Yankee Stadium or Citi Field. They're going back-to-back, depending on when the baseball teams are at home or on the road, the Yankees and Mets. But, you know, a victory is a victory. 10 out of 12 points in their first 4 games at home. Can't ask much better than that. The problem is they're going to have a lot of road games, and that has been their bugaboo over the last several years.
Yep,
can they
absolutely
take what they're doing at home and be successful on the road?
Okay, real quick, Michael, last thing. Monterey 1, Columbus 2. So that the Crew's got a shot. If they can avoid losing on Wednesday against Monterey, they will go to the final.
Yep, and, you know, as the reigning MLS Cup champions, I give them, let's say, a 50-50 chance of pulling that off, which is saying a lot when you're playing in Monterey. But they're a very good team, very well-coached team, and would not be surprised.
If they could get a goal, that would be a big, big help for them. That's Wednesday night, 10 o'clock. You watch on Fox Sports 1. Michael, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Great to be on. Hey, have a good one. Thanks.
You too. Michael Lewis, live from New York on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. Thanks to Michael. Thanks to Bob D'Angelo at WYSL, pushing the buttons and taking care of me. Couldn't do the show without Bob. Thank you, Bob. Thanks to Jordan Sullivan from Flower City Union. And thanks to Greg Suddy for joining us from San Diego. Flower City Union and 1872 tickets are available at flowercityunion.com. Season starts in the month of May, so be sure to get your tickets. And tickets for the Lancers for 2025 are available at rlancers.com. Joe Sirianni, hope you'll be back with us on next week's show. And it'll be at 6:30 Monday on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass here on WYSL and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com. Have a good night, everybody.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry and brought to you by the following sponsors, Flower City Union and Flower City 1872, the Rochester Lancers, top-notch monogramming, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, Polano & Company, Italian-American Sports Club of Rochester, Off-Road Bracelets, Faber Builders and Claridge Decorating Center, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, Pet Mom Jewelry, and St. Padre Pio Chapel. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.